This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another happy episode of Up the Poshcast. It's two wins in a row for the Posh, this time a 1-0 win after the long journey to Plymouth. In this episode, we talk about our controversial man of the match choice. We gave it to George Nevitt. A lot of you thought it was Alex Bass. We explain the reasons why that is the case, and I admit that maybe I should have given Bass a higher rating. We disagree on Harry Leonard, actually. Lodz wasn't a biggest fan of his performance, and a few of the others thought he was great. Max has, again, I'm afraid, made another error. He's committed to cardinal sin, so wait till you find out what that is. Just to keep you in the loop, we have some big news coming later today. 12 p.m, keep an eye on your socials because you're going to want to see this one. This episode is sponsored by Lux Elite Cleaning Services. They're a great cleaning company which cover different areas like Holbeach, Eye, Werrington, Glinton and Market Deepin. So they use a special water-fed pole system to get to all those hard-to-reach windows. If you need your cleaning, anything outside your house cleaning, get in touch with Lux Elite Cleaning Services. All that's left to say for the rest of the episode is that I was joined by Max, Dell and Lodz for this one. So sit back, relax and enjoy this episode of Up the Poshcast. Lodz, back-to-back victories. What did you make of that one?
It was a bit different, wasn't it? I'd be interested to know what Dara thought of it, because it was one of those 1-0 wins that he says he hates. However, I've got a sneaky suspicion that he enjoyed that one. We obviously are used to us playing the attacking football that we've seen over the last few years, but I think that was one of the best defensive performances I've seen us play in God knows how long, really. I know you tweeted, John, that it was back to the wall at times, but I actually thought it was back to the wall pretty much the whole game. There was parts in the first half where we looked like ourselves, you know, attacking. We had plenty of shots. But I think our game plan was to let them play. There wasn't really many times when the two strikers were pressing them. They sort of just passed it around the back, you know. But I thought everyone did their job well enough to nullify them. They didn't really look like scoring. They had a few chances, but all in all, I think it was a really composed performance from us. Did we deserve the 1-0 win? I'm not sure, but we got the win and that's the important thing.
I think if we're going to go away to the teams and play like that, I've got no bother. For me, 3 points is 3 points, isn't it? And we went and we really grinded one out. And one thing that I complained about so much last season was the lack of togetherness in this team and the lack of any sort of, you know, even family feel to a degree. Just didn't feel like the players were playing for each other. Just felt that they were paying for money at the end of the week or a paycheck at the end of the month. It didn't feel like there was a big group feel. And this team feels so gelled. And that really insinuated how together this group looked. The defending on display for the last 20 minutes was bodies on the line, fight for each other, fight for the manager, and fight to give those 500 Posh fans that travelled, me included, and so was John, so was Dale, that travelled down, an away win that we've been craving for so long. Because I was thinking, if you don't count the, you know, Ricky J. Jones 90th minute bit of luck in terms of the penalty at Crawley away. When was the last big away win? It was probably Wrexham in the cup was the last big away win. You know, you're looking at the beginning of March since the last time we went somewhere and we won an away game. And even then, we didn't win in 90 minutes. So I did feel at times we were due an away win we got. And the performance, I was so happy with.
Yeah, I loved it. I have to say, I absolutely loved it. I can't remember the last time we won a game of football playing like that. And don't get me wrong, if you don't win games of football, it's not particularly entertaining. But when you do win games of football, away from home, and you soak up the pressure, and in fairness, we limited their chances so well, it was just brilliant to watch. Because in previous seasons, we've been so easy to score against. Like, as soon as a team keeps pressure on us for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know that goal's coming. You know it's coming. And this time we stood up firm. You had Harry Leonard in the 85th minute chucking himself in front of the ball to keep it out of our own net. And we got through it, I thought, relatively comfortably. It was hard work. It was a slugfest. The effort was brilliant from 1 to 11 and equally all the subs. And yeah, on the ball, there's a lot of work to do because we were not perfect. But that's another side to our bow that we haven't had for a long time now, where we can just sort of go, okay, we're going to soak up all your pressure. We're going to keep you out. And we carry a threat now on the counter-attack. I know, obviously, we weren't great on the ball, but we still missed a penalty. We still scored a goal. We had Leonard's chance. And there was multiple opportunities in sort of the second half when the game opened up where one extra touch or one better pass through would have scored. And we actually look a threat going forward, even playing like that. So I thought it was great to see. I was really spirited by it. And yeah, just well done to them all. That's the exact sort of away performance that when you get the win, they feel so sweet, don't they?
It's one of those games where, yeah, the backs were to the wall, but a few months back, we'd have lost them sort of games. But I can't remember who said it, but the determination from the team to yesterday was just, or Saturday, was outstanding. I'm so, so impressed with the effort that was put in. You know, sometimes the football wasn't great, but there were some fantastic moments as well of build-up play, etc. But the way that everybody got stuck in, the determination not to let that ball go in the back of the net. You know, some of the saves that was made, some of the defensive clearance that was made. And, you know, we've also got to take in consideration the weather. You know, the ball was going all over the place, you know what I mean, with the wind and it was raining and it was sunny and, you know, and it does make a difference to how you play. But the performance for me was, I really, really enjoy that type of, you know, doggedness, a type of getting stuck in. I'm not losing that ball. I'm going to win this and you're not going to win this either. And we were strong and it is encouraging to see how compact we're becoming at the back now. Whereas, you know, it weren't that long ago, but people were teams were slicing us open. But now we're sort of, you know, we're back to basics. We've got the back line in place and what a back line it is at the moment. So, so different. And, I'm not going to say it's the best performance from a football match, but most of my ratings are based on the attitude and the effort that these players put in yesterday. I left Plymouth thoroughly, you know, happy, excited for Saturday against Lincoln, because it long time since I felt that. As you said, last time was Wrexham away, and that was a long, long time ago. So leaving an away ground, especially one that's just around the corner, that happy, not worried about the long journey home. Yeah, great feeling. I'm happy. I'm very happy with yesterday.
Yeah, you're right, Del. I mean, I am looking forward to watching Peterborough again, and it feels so good to say that because it's been so long. And the fact that we've changed pretty much the entire team is the reason for that. We actually have some good players now that I enjoy watching. And one of those good players is Alex Bass. Now, we caused a little bit of controversy on Twitter when we released our player ratings and man of the match, and Bass wasn't man of the match. And I actually think, thinking back on it, I probably messed up my rating a little bit. I gave him a 7 in the immediate aftermath of the game. Probably could have been higher. Bass is brilliant at everything apart from Iniesta balls on his left foot, and then he becomes like a Sunday league player. he had a bit of a scary moment after like 10 minutes when Nevitt bailed him out. And there was a few others when they put it on his left foot. He does look pretty uncomfortable on that foot in particular. But the rest of it, what a goalkeeper. Anyone else that we've had, one of those shots that they had goes in, particularly the overhead. That's the best save of the bunch for me. The reflexes to keep that out. But it's not just that. He's very proactive in his goal. Really good off his line in the sense of his positioning is very good because he takes up an advanced position in his own penalty area. And if there is through balls, which they were playing a lot to lie, he's very good at coming out and just collecting it, making it look really easy. Looks very good under crosses as well, which is great. We haven't had a goalkeeper look great under crosses for quite some time, really. And he uses his height to his advantage. He never really looks flustered, does he? Even after mistakes, you know, he made that error early on. And we've had goalkeepers in the past that would have sort of compounded that. But he never really looks flustered. The crowd were a little bit on his back. And it was a difficult kicking day in terms of the conditions, which Dale's already mentioned, in the wind. And he's just assured. And it's so good to have a goalkeeper like that because it feels like not only is he not going to make mistakes, but he's actually going to make saves that other goalkeepers aren't going to make in this league. So now we have a goalkeeper that's going to be a positive effect on our team. And genuinely, normally the goalkeeper is one of the weakest parts of the team. Even you look back to the 23-24 squad when we had sort of Jed Steer, and it never really quite felt right. Or go back to Will Norris, it never felt like he was one of our best players. Whereas Bass, I actually think, does feel like one of our best players now already. And yeah, I've just got so much faith in him. He already looks really, really good. And yeah, really good display from him. He was a major reason why we won that game because of his assuredness, confidence. And it just breeds confidence throughout the team, I think.
Yeah, I have to agree, John. I was one of the ones that gave him a higher score. I gave him an 8 out of 10. And I actually thought, judging by the comments that people were putting on Twitter, they were expecting 9 out of 10 and 9.5 out of 10. But I think Bass has got a lot of room to improve on that performance. I don't think that's going to be his best performance this season. I think we're going to see a much better Bass going forward. Like you say, he had that really shaky issue where he got bailed out by Nevitt, didn't he? He gave the ball away, slipped over. Nevitt managed to stop the shot from going in. There was another time he slipped over in the second half as well. And just in general, his kicking, it wasn't the best, but what I would say about his kicking is when he wants to kick it long, he can get it really far up the pitch. And in games like yesterday, that was really valuable for us. Add on to the fact the overhead kick save was fantastic, reflexes. The one that sort of went over the line but didn't go over the line, I think that probably would have gone in if he didn't get all the way across his goal to claw it back out again. And then, like you say, John, his management in the last 10 to 15 minutes when we're really up against it, we saw it against Wickham as well, catching those balls, going down to the floor, you know, and I think the defence, they feel a lot more confident playing in front of him as well, don't they? And even his sweeping up, like you say, John, we've spoke about his starting position being quite high. But I remember there was one ball in particular that got played through and he was there right on the edge of the box to grab it. And the radio commentary, they made a noise as if to say that he was about to bring it out. That's how far out, like on the edge of his box he was. He almost handled it outside the area. But just having that goalkeeper just ready to pounce and just the general reactions, I think, is just something really good to see. I do think, though, that, like I said, I think he'll have better performances. People saying about his shot stopping yesterday, I think it was only the two decent saves that he had, not taking anything away from him. But Nathan Alban tweeted earlier on that he's prevented 0.82 goals. I don't think that's actually that high, to be honest with you. But obviously, we're grateful for him. And I don't think any of the other goalkeepers we've had in the last few years would have performed that way yesterday.
Yeah, I probably agree. I think is kicking off the left foot has to improve, but every other part of his game I was relatively happy with. And I think, again, as you say, Lodz is going to improve. A player I really want to talk about and was my man of the match, has to be the third week in a row or something stupid like that, is George Nevitt. And I am, again, sound like a broken record, I'm so happy with the way that he's coming on. Against Plymouth, he had a massive, stocky, physical number 9 playing ahead of him. It was a tough battle. And I think there was a few concerns around me raised that, is he going to be physical enough to deal with him? Is he going to be able to handle the pressure of this big number nine that looks far more physical than him? And I don't think he was caused many, if any, issue at all. And again, that proves the way that he's, that trajectory that we've been talking about of his talent is improving as well as his physicality. The one thing that I was really impressed with is not only his composure. You know, we're talking about a 19-year-old who has to put his back against goal, really stand in the goal mouth at some points just to get the ball off the line and really dig in to play 90 minutes. But also his composure going up the pitch. I say it all the time. He is so good at running. There was one point where he was running into the opposition box. Like that's how far he'd ran up the pitch and been able to get past players and split lines and pick passes out. And that's something we need in a back three. It was the right decision. My biggest complaint at Huddersfield, I believe, was that we're playing Leeds in the centre of the three. I didn't want that. It's got to be Nevitt in the centre of that three. He is so good at dictating the play to both the centre-backs, spraying out to the wing-backs. He can put balls over the top to the strikers, but he can also then run into midfield himself. That is something that's really key for a middle of a three centre-back. And that's where Nevitt should play. I think it's his best position.
I'm with you, Max. I give him a 9. And if I had done points, I think I might have given him a point 9.5. But no, credit where it's due. He was absolutely superb again yesterday. This season is by far, in my opinion, player of the season. If that season went now, he would win it, hands down. He has been that good. You know, and I am 100%. I'm sticking to my guns that he was my man of the match. I've been given a little bit of grief about Bass and this. You know, Bass made mistakes. I don't think Nevitt really made any mistakes. He was just so good. You know, one thing that we do hear about Nevitt as a negative is he isn't very fast. But I agree with that. But he seems to... I don't want to make it sort of sound like Superman or anything, but he seems to glide through players when he goes up the pitch. Do you know what I mean? He'll turn and then next thing you know, he's at the halfway line. He's like, how did he get there? The space just opens up for him. He creates his own space and then he's in a position where, how did you get there so quickly? Because he isn't quick. But definitely having the experience next to him has really, really turned Nevitt into a great player. And, you know, I'm all for it. I just want to see him progress and it carries on like that. We're not going to have him for much longer. You know, and it was only a few months back where I was thinking, oh, he needs to go out on loan and get some experience. He's getting that experience with Peterborough United and he is putting in some fantastic performances. And, you know, we really need to be singing his praises more and more. What I am disappointed with is Peterborough United's official website didn't even put him in one of the selections to be man of the match. What's all that about? Don't worry, Nevitt. We've got you, mate. Man of the match from up the podcast.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. His improvement has been absolutely vast. And there was always something there with Nevitt, but it felt like he was a long way off. It doesn't feel like he's a long way off at all now. To the point where when Sam Hughes comes back, you're almost questioning, well, does he even start at this point? Because Nevitt is playing that well. He might well keep him out of the team. And the other two players who are playing very well is Tom Lees and Tom O'Connor. The two Toms next to him are really impressing me. Lees is experienced, isn't it? He just makes the game look easy. You know, his legs aren't there maybe what they used to be, but he doesn't make any errors. He just does the simple things well, which is exactly what we've needed for a long time. You watch some of the centre-backs that we've had last season, Valin, Fernandez, they'd almost trip themselves up at times and you're like, what are you doing there? Lees doesn't do that. He's pretty basic in the way he defends, but fine by me. Heads the crosses away, wins his tackles, wins his header, doesn't get bullied by strikers. Exactly what you need. And then on the other side, Tom O'Connor is one of them unassuming centre-backs that I really like. He's maybe not quite as flamboyant, as travelling forward with it as Nevitt, but he's just right place, right time. And there was a moment, it was about the 93rd minute, I think, when we were sort of keeping the ball in the corner and the ball was loose and O'Connor just strode forward, chested it down, shimmied past one, gave it out to the back out to, I think it was Hayes in the corner, and we wasted another minute and won the game. And it was just like that level of composure just to go, okay, I'm going to shimmy past the striker, give it out to the winger. again, that experience at the back is so key, so vital. And he might not win that many Man of the Match awards because it doesn't feel like he's ever going to be outstanding or doing anything that really catches the eye. But really, really solid, really good start to his Posh career. Just a proper player. Mendy's the other one. I mean, Mendy defensively is great so far. Going forward, I still think he has a little bit to work on personally. I think there was moments, certainly in the second half on the counter-attack, where he got it in space and then put in a terrible cross or the cutback wasn't there. So final third work does need a little bit of work, I think. But defensively, no qualms with me. And then I just love Peter Kyoto. I've just missed him so much. And just having him back, what a guy. Just the passion he defends with is brilliant. But he was really good going forward yesterday as well, I thought. I thought he linked it, probably the one that showed the most quality going forward, actually. I thought on the counters and stuff. His shot led to the goal, obviously, as well. And just a really good all-round performance. But just didn't give the winger just any service. It was one-on-one with him. And some of the criticism of Kyoto, which I don't necessarily subscribe to, is that he's not the best defensively. He was brilliant defensively yesterday. Nothing got past him. Won so many slide tackles. Such a battler. I just love the bloke. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a great right-back. One of my favourite right-backs we've had. I'm so glad he's back here. I hope we get him on a permanent. Stay for life, Peter Kyoto, because you're a bit of me, mate. I really enjoy watching him.
Do you know what? I think Peter Kyoto has picked up on his spell to Oxford, and that is versatility. I mean, he really can do a job tucking in and playing centre-back. And that defensive work, that isn't something necessarily we saw on display in his first stint here, was it? You know, he was the right back that bombed four in that back three. And, you know, the Kipriano would sit in between the centre backs and make that sort of back three and gave Kyoto the license to basically play like another winger, a really wide player. We didn't see the defensive attributes that he had. And he's been to Oxford, and Oxford's biggest complaint of him was that he couldn't defend. Well, we haven't seen evidence of that yet. And I'm so happy because I think there were concerns from people that going back to Kyoto might not work the second time. He might not be the player that he was. But if anything, I think he's got better because he's really helping us defend. And going forward, he looks the exact same as he was. And that element of experience he's had in that season in the Championship alone is really going to aid us. And if we can keep those three low knees, I mean, even Mendy, I'm going to go on to in just a moment. If we can keep those three low knees at the end of the season and sign them on a permanent, we've got a great base to build and grow. Mendy is the only negative in the back line, and it wasn't negative by any stretch of the imagination, really. I don't think he was a standout like the other four in that back five were. Again, I completely agree with John. His attacking work does need work. Defensively, I do have to spare a penny for Harley Mills here, because I think the game was... I would have really have liked to see him in this back three. It's a back five, really, isn't it? And he is phenomenal attacking, I think, Harley Mills. We've seen it multiple times. And defensively, yes, I think he needs work. I don't think he's defensively League One standard. I think everybody here would agree. And I think attacking, he's definitely in and around a League One experience in terms of attacking. I just wish he'd be on the bench to bring on. I felt like at the end, you know, Darren Ferguson was talking and praising the substitutes. I think I would have really liked to have seen Harley Mills come on yesterday. Maybe if just to get out of the box a bit more. You know, we're talking about that back to goal defending, and I'm happy with that. And if, you know, we brought Carl Johnston at what seemed like midfield. And that confused me a little bit. Not that Carl Johnston had a bad game by any stretch of the imagination, because I actually thought when he came on and did really well. But I think in the home games, when we're going to look to play our way of football and the way that Darren Ferguson wants to play, I really do hope that Harley Mills features, because I think when we're chasing for a game, I think he's a good option. And I do think he needs to be included in the squads, or at least sent out on loan in January.
Yeah, it's a shame for Harley Mills and James Donnelly. I'll throw him in there as well. But we've got such a big squad now that Fergie has to not include some players. And I think they're the easy ones, aren't they? The ones that graduated from the academy the most recently, just to put them back in the under-21s. It's interesting you say about Chiosso adapting to playing in a back three or a back five, depending on how you look at it, Max, because when we remember Chiosso from that 23-24 season, we remember his relationship with Poku on that right-hand side, don't we? And how many times Poku got the ball up and he was holding it up and Chiosso would make them bombing runs on the overlap, wouldn't he? And we used to love seeing that. But we've seen this different version of Chiosso now where he can have that line all to himself and he's really good at knowing when to attack and when to defend. Bearing in mind he's got to get up and down and do basically the work in both thirds. It's just a shame that his fitness can't allow him to do that for 90 minutes because we don't have a like-for-like replacement from on the bench. I know Carl Johnston came on and did well, but he doesn't do the same as what Chiosso does. I want to talk about the midfield, and I don't really want to talk about any of them specifically because, I mean, I thought Archie Collins was quite good. You could tell that he wanted to get one in on Plymouth because he was putting himself about a bit. But I think the three of them, they're a bit sloppy in possession, but out of position, they were really, really good. And it's really hard to praise them when they're not really doing a lot on the ball. But if you think about all of the chances that Plymouth created, they were all sort of crosses into the box, weren't they? And I think that's a good tell that the midfield did their job well, because we obviously frustrated Plymouth to the point where they're having to play the ball down the wing because our midfield was so compact. And I guess that was part of the game plan, that we wanted them to put crosses in the box. And this goes back to what we said about Alex Bass being really good at coming off his line and catching the balls. Recent years, we've looked really bad at dealing with crosses into the box, even like the beginning of this season. But it's really interesting to see now that we can put that compact midfield in and force them out wide and get those balls into the box. And with the experience defenders that we have and Alex Bass, we're actually really good at dealing with crosses now. I'm quite impressed with the midfield. Despite their sloppiness in possession, out of possession, I thought they were really, really great.
Definitely is one of those games where you didn't really notice a midfield as much because it wasn't really a game of football, if that makes sense. There's a lot of like kicking it up and chasing or whatever. But as you say, Collins was, he'd done the basics very, very well. No doubt about it. He'd done what he needed to do without the flair. And I don't think it was necessarily a great game for, what's his name, Garbett. I actually only rated him an average, which is unusual. I think he's the lowest mark I've given him. But because there wasn't really that opportunity for him to get the ball and put the ball forward or do what he was been doing in previous games. But, and again, I'm just going to go back to it. It's one of them games where everybody was getting stuck in. The players were doing what they needed to do, and the midfield done their job very, very well. There's some, you know, some great players at Plymouth. Let's not forget about that. You know, I was in a championship last year, and we, you know, we confined them into like making mistakes all over the pitch. How many times were they, you know, passing, going out for a throw in? And, you know, we've done that because of our midfield was doing the basics as a defensive thing rather than an attacking. And I think that's where, if I'm honest, Garbett didn't really shine as much because he was doing some dirty work rather than the creative work that we've seen of that. I think they've done what they had to do without the flair, if that makes sense, of sort of creating too much. Because it was one of those games where back to the wall, defending was a priority and we done it fucking superbly.
You're right on Garbett, Dale. I thought it was probably his worst game in a Posh shirt. But one thing I will give credit for is we've seen other players come in from abroad and they struggle physically, don't they? They don't look up to the rigours of English football. Garbett does not have any issues with that. The bloke loves a 50-50. Another one who is rapidly... In fact, I think he's probably my favourite player in this squad. I thought that, like I say, the worst game is posture, certainly on the ball. And yet, he still made the penalty with a lovely slide rule pass. He still played an unbelievable diagonal out to Mendy where the whole away end went, oh, what a ball. You know, when you just see that little bit of quality. And that this is the difference that I've always talked about. You watch O'Brien Brady and De Havilland, for instance, two midfielders that were right on the fringes of his first team at the start of the season. When they have a bad game, they either do absolutely nothing where you literally don't notice they're on the pitch, or they have an absolute howler like Donny at Everton away where he just gives the ball back every single time he gets the ball. Garbett still wants to take that responsibility, still sets up a penalty, still spraying passes, still winning 50-50s. And we're going, yeah, that's his worst performance in a Posh shirt. If that's as bad as you're going to play, Matty Garbett, you're a bit of me. I'll have that all day long. Keller is the other one I just wanted to talk about. I think Keller's kind of one of them where you can see he's 20 years old. I like him. He's rough around the edges. There was a moment about 70 minutes into the game where really he's got a scan and spot Jimmy J. Morgan through on goal. It was on a counter-attack. And all he has to do is release him and we're one-on-one. And instead, he took the safe route and went out to Hayes because he just didn't scan. He never got his head up on the ball to spot the pass. And I know he's not necessarily that creative force in midfield, but that's somewhere where he can definitely improve. And hopefully Fergie points out that moment and says, look, just look up, just find that pass. And we probably go 2-0 up, given the form Jimmy J's in. But overall, like you guys have said, the three of them worked so hard in there. They were really dogged, I felt, more than anything else. There's a little bit of quality on them, but on the ball, probably all three of them weren't quite at their best yesterday, but they were really tenacious. There's legs in that midfield now, which is really good. They're physical. They don't shirk challenges. We're not getting bullied in the middle of the park, which again is another thing that often you've said about Posh, where potentially we've lacked a little bit of physicality. We don't anymore. We're definitely not getting bullied in that area. We're winning second balls and things like that. And yeah, all three of them, they're forming a good partnership. So Woods has got a little bit of his work cut out getting in this team at the minute. Fergie's got some interesting selection decisions because the three of them are doing well. And I'm liking what I'm seeing from them. If they can just get a little bit better on the ball, we'll really be laughing because then we will really be cooking, I think.
John, at the start of that, talk of the midfield, you mentioned Matty Garbett was probably your favourite player. And I think I've committed one of the seven deadly sins in football, which is falling in love with a lone player. Because my word, do I love Jimmy J. Morgan. And I think I fell in love when he scored that goal at Huddersfield and he came over and those celebrations after it being so long since we scored a goal, that meant anything to go 1-0 up. And he, jumps over the hoardings and grabs the badge. And, we've missed that. And since then, he's scored 3-3. And that's something that we needed, didn't we? Posh don't get strikers wrong. And last season with Brad and Gustav, it felt we got them wrong, didn't we? And I think it was a bit tense when we brought in a lone striker. Darrow doesn't do lone strikers. What are we doing? It felt panicky. And all of a sudden, we found this player that I adore. He is so good in the box. And Fergie says he's got an absolute knack for it. It's a natural talent. It's a striker's instinct that he's just got, that he can make the run and pick the ball out. And Plymouth fans were complaining. I think the goalkeeper tends to do that a lot, where he palms a shot into the path of a striker. It sounds like he does it a lot. But Jimmy J. Morgan just being there, do we think Gustav or Brad would have been there? I don't know. Do we think they would have made that run? Because Harry Leonard wasn't there, was he, in the box at the time when Chiozzo shot? He wasn't there and he wasn't in the right position to fire that in. And Jimmy J. Morgan was. And that's something that I was really impressed with. And I think his general play is improving. And although he doesn't, I think our game plan, isn't it, with our strikers, is they're not to trigger press necessarily. It's to wait for the mistake and then spring a press or then go and put some pressure on the fullbacks. Jimmy J. Morgan does that exceptionally well. And he's quick, which makes a fantastic striker overall. I just hope we can keep him to the end of the year. I don't think he's one of the loans that we're going to be able to keep. I think he will go to the Championship, definitely, if he keeps scoring like this. And I don't think we'll keep him past January if he keeps scoring like this. So maybe let off on the goals slightly so he can enjoy you for the whole season. But it's such a breath of fresh air to see strikers not only scoring, but, giving those celebrations to the fans and giving us something to really enjoy. So thank you, Jimmy J. Morgan, for that.
Yeah, I just think he needs more praise because he's one of these players that he knows where to be. None of this waiting for it to be there. He knows where to be, where that ricochet is going to come from, if it's going to come off his arse or whatever. He knows where to be. And that doesn't just come like naturally. That's a bit naturally, I should say, and he's taught that. Being at Chelsea with some class coaches and players, clearly that's helped him, and you're never going to, no respect to lower leagues, but you're not going to teach that at League One, League Two, etc. And I think having him come through on loan from Chelsea is helping us, but I think he's going to be a talent in the future because he just is one of them, a bit of an old-fashioned striker. He knows where to be, and that's great to see. He knows where to be, whereas players in the past have, oh, they've got to work on where to go. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a great asset to us this year. As you say, Max, if we can keep him full season, I'll be happy with that. But who knows? He might get recalled in January if he keeps it going. But I'm liking it when he's here, and he seems to enjoy being here. He's made it clear on his social media he loves being here. So keep it going, mate. Score a few more goals for us.
Yeah, I too have fallen in love with a lone player. Just all of the things that you both have mentioned. But the most importantly to me is when that full-time whistle went, he was smiling from ear to ear. He went around every single player. He gave him big hugs. And you could see that his personality is infectious because every single player that he approached just had the same grin on their face. And these players haven't been that happy for such a long time. You know, I saw Archie Collins just absolutely beaming when he was hugging with Jimmy J Morgan yesterday. And I don't remember Archie Collins being that happy, like not even since Joe Randall left. His personality reminds me of what Sammy Schmodics was like. He's got that sort of cheeky look about him, isn't he? And he gets about and you can just tell that he's a good laugh. He's a good lad. The other striker, Harry Leonard. So we now put our ratings in anonymously, so we can't copy each other's ratings. And the first time we see each other's ratings is when they all come out together. And my rating for Harry Leonard was a 5 out of 10, and I was the only one to rate him under a 6. And I thought about it. Was I harsh? And I'm thinking a lot of the stuff that Harry Leonard did that was good wasn't his job. John mentioned it earlier. He was doing really, really well with defensive contributions. He really did his part in making sure that we didn't concede yesterday. And that's great. But I think the reason I gave him a 5 out of 10 is just because he didn't do his job well. And it seems harsh because he does a lot better than what Gustav was doing in terms of his runs and where he is. And he's creating chances for himself. But if you're going to step up to take the penalty, I don't buy into us using the novelty penalty taker, I'm going to call it, where, you know, you give the ball to the player that is low on confidence, or maybe they're on a hat trick, so you let them score the penalty. I don't buy into that. I think your penalty taker should be the one that scores the best penalties. I'm not sure if Leonard is our penalty taker, but judging by what Fergie said in his post-match interview, I think it was decided at the time. And I'm not saying that's the reason he missed, but I just think if you're going to step up like that, you have to score it. And I think the reason I've given him a 5, if you imagine if Gustav Lindgren put in that exact same performance yesterday, I don't think he would have been scoring 7s like what you guys have given him. So I think on that basis, I think a 5 out of 10 is justified. But I am looking forward to him improving because I know that he will. And I think that him and Jimmy J up front together are going to be such a good partnership.
Lads, if Gustav Lindgren put in that level of performance yesterday, I would be wearing the Swedish national team shirt to the next game. Highly unlikely. I pretty much completely disagree with a lot of what you just said, to be honest. I find a 5 really harsh. Yes, he missed the penalty. I'm pleased he stepped up. It wasn't the worst penalty in the world. Maybe he could have put a bit more disguise on it. If you look, he looks at the corner that he shoots into before he's about to take it, and perhaps showed a little bit of a lack of confidence. But I'm just not worried about Harry Leonard. He has an abundance of quality and he's really hardworking. And the strikers aren't getting loads of service at the minute, but they still manage to look a threat. And that's through clever movement, which Leonard definitely has. His touch is good. He links play very well. He's better in the air than I think maybe I was expecting. I didn't associate him to be particularly great in the air, but he's a really well-rounded striker. He worked so hard yesterday, lads. And again, look, I probably go to the fewest games out of everyone here. And sometimes on stream, you don't necessarily get the full picture of how hard everybody's running off the ball. And he was so tireless in his work. He was knackered at the end. He was tired. You could see it. And yet he was still back defending. Slotted the ball through for Chiosso as well, I believe, for that shot. So he did have an impact in the final third as well. And yeah, he's got to get through on goal and score a goal soon. And it's clearly weighing on him. At the end, he came over to the fans and he kind of looked, I don't want to say upset, but you could see there was a, I need to score a goal. just keep doing what you're doing, mate. I'm telling you, the goal will come because he's getting chances, constantly getting chances. And that's important. Like, we talk, you've made the comparison here, and Lindgren, I don't want to jump on because I actually thought he was good, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. I thought he did his job when he came off. But I've watched Lindgren a lot, and a lot of games he comes off and you don't notice he's on the pitch, right? He just looks completely anonymous. He doesn't really get a massive chance. How many games have we said? We might as well be on 10 men. Even in pre-season, we were saying that against non-league teams. Leonard is noticeable, and that is because he's getting in on goal. He had that chance really late on, which was on his left foot, and that was a good save, actually, from Ashby Hammond that stopped him there. So, look, the header at Wickham on another day goes in as well. I'm really not worried about him. I really, really like our strike force now. They're not getting, a huge amount of service, but they're still proving a threat to defences. They can hold the ball up well. They physically match up to centre-backs. And centre-backs against those two are not having easy games anymore. We are posing a threat. And that is so important because it means that teams can't just gamble and put another centre-back forward, because if they do, we're creating chances. And yeah, I'm really happy with Harry Leonard. I'm convinced that he will become a goal scorer for us. I just think it's maybe a slower start than he wanted. But even then, what, three games you haven't scored? I'm not too bothered about it, mate. If this goes on for 10, then maybe I'll start saying you need to start taking a chance. But I really like what I see from him. I think he's going to be a really good player for Posh.
I think his price tag might have a big weighing down factor as well. Don't forget, we loosen the purse strings for him. It's not like we bought him for, 600, 500K or whatever, or even like 350. You know, it's not like we've paid a reasonably small fee for League One. You know, we paid upwards of £1 million for him, and I presume there's a lot of add-ons as well. And he wants to come in and perform and show the fans that he's worth that price tag. I get it. I 100% understand. We also have to remember, I think, not to make excuses for the lad, because what I did really like was, John is completely correct in the fact that we don't really see this from Gustav either, is he knows he missed the penalty. He knows he missed the chance at the end of the game where he could have hit it across the floor into the bottom corner. Instead, he chose to try and rifle it and went over the bar to kill the game off. We had two chances. And, you know, if we drew that game or dropped points, then I think people would have turned on him a little bit and gone, you had two options to wrap this game up for us and you failed both times. But, you know, he came over to the fans and instantly apologised. I mean, he came over and he touched his chest. He went, look, I'm sorry, hands up. It was apologetic. He looked sad, as John said. And that's something that I really do like, is he knows that he can do better. And he's taking responsibility for it. At that young age is fantastic. I think we also have to highlight just very quickly, what is Harry Leonard's job? Now, the obvious answer is to score goals, but when you're playing as a strike force of two, it isn't just scoring goals, is it? You don't have the wingers to help defensively. So one of the strikers really has to do it. And he does that very well. That block to stop the goal was great. We've already mentioned that. And he's also got to, one of the strikers has to drop deep to link up. That's another thing I think is really important in a two-man strike force. And he's taken that role on. And his general play and link-up play, we saw it multiple times. He dropped deep, play it to a wing-back, drop deep, play it to Garbutt, play it to Keller, play it to Collins. Pick up the balls, turn, try and play it through to Jimmy J. Morgan. There was multiple times that we saw that. So I don't think Harry Leonard's job is to just score goals. I think that's a wrong view of what Harry Leonard's job is in this team. I think it's far more important than that. And, you know, again, three games with no goal, no bother to me. Just score against Lincoln at the weekend and put it all to bed.
Before we talk on the subs, I guess we should touch on Plymouth's performance and what we thought of that. I mean, I thought they looked a decent side in the sense that they kept us pinned in quite well. And tactically, I thought they were pretty well set up, but they looked quite toothless, I thought. Talai was a threat, but really it was moments rather than anything spectacular. And they just lost their way pretty much every time they got into the final third. Now, we're attributing that down to some really good defending, and I think that's fair. But also there were some sloppy moments from them, which, you know, for a team that dropped down from the Championship, I was expecting slightly more quality, I would say, in the final third than what they showed. And realistically, I don't think they could have too many complaints about the defeat. I know it's one of them games where you're probably watching a lot of play down the end you're attacking. But when I think back to the chances they created, even the chances that nearly went in, you know, the header was a great header to get it onto the bar and it to bounce down on the crossbar. It's a half chance. The overhead kick is something made out of nothing, really, rather than carving us open. And I don't really remember them creating a good chance other than that all game. So there's clearly work to be done. I thought a lot towards the end as well. It was great for us to see, but it felt like they lacked a lot of urgency. There was a moment when Ashby Hammond had it at his feet and was just standing there, and you were like, all their fans were going nuts, like, kick it long. And he was just sort of dawdling, and it was like, oh, that's another 15 seconds wasted. Well done. So, yeah, there's things to work on for them. I do think they're in a little bit of a false position. I wouldn't expect them to be as low down. The only other thing I would say about Plymouth is, what a great away day. It's the first time I've done it. Went down for the weekend. Loved it. I thought the place is lovely. We stayed, just a really nice place to go and watch football and stay away. I will be doing Plymouth away again, for sure. Maybe the result helped, but in a rainy day, I still managed to enjoy myself outside. So, yeah, thumbs up for the stadium and great away day. It's one of my favourite away days we've had in ages. Anyway, we're going to talk about the subs now. Dale, what was your thoughts on the impact that they had?
Well, I think it's fair to say, of recent weeks, I've criticised the subs coming on and it's like changed the games. But yesterday, I think majority of the subs that come on, they kept the flow. They kept the same sort of importance of what we was doing. And it was good to see. I do need to mention Gustav, because where Lods give Leonard a 5, I also give Gustav a 5. And those are two scores that stood out like a sore thumb. I just wasn't over-impressed with his performance. An example is that one of the crosses that come in, if it was Leonard or even it was Morgan that ball was coming into, they would have bust the gut to get on the end of it. But he just stood there. As a striker, he just stood there waiting for the ball. And that sort of like pissed me off a bit, if I'm honest. Sounds like he could have made a bit more of an effort to get to it. He made no effort whatsoever. I just don't think he's what we need at the moment. You know, and the two lone guys coming in, the two forwards coming in, are clearly a cut above Gustav at the moment. And whether it's a confidence thing, I don't know. Whether he's not good enough, I don't know. But I give him a 5, and I'm justified in my opinion of that 5. I'm not questioning anybody else to give him a 7 or a 6.5 or whatever. You want to give him a score? That's up to you. But I'm going to stick to my 5 because I think that's what he deserved. But the others that come on, I thought done very, very well. And I rated them quite highly. And they all fitted into the position very well. They sort of, it was like seamless subs. Does that make sense? Whereas of past, it's been like, we put these subs on and it just knocks out the flow of the game. But I thought they, all of them, apart from Gustav, actually done what they should have been doing. So I'm going to stick to my 5 for old Gustav. Over to you, John.
Heaven forbid me to be the one to defend Gustav Lindgren. What is going on here? This is a turn up for the books. I thought it was fine yesterday. Gave the ball away once on the halfway line, which I hate. I hate it when the ball goes into him and defender nicks ahead of him and it's a real flaw in his game. But other than that, Lindgren's performance was absolutely fine. I thought worked really hard. Was good to get his legs on the pitch, actually, because it pressured their defenders, which Leonard and Morgan were tiring and they were getting a little bit too much time on the ball. Gustav did well, sort of just getting in amongst it. He put the effort in and, yeah, I agree with you, Dale. The quality difference is definitely there. It's noticeable. But that performance is fine off the bench, I think. If he puts that sort of effort and energy level in, he did his job. He came on as a pressing forward more than we need another goal, I think. It was more, let's see out what we've got. And in that sense, defensively, he did fine. And no, fair play. That was a good performance from Gustav. I think 5's very harsh, Dale. One player I did want to touch on is Ben Woods. Oh, I think we might have found one. I know we've only seen him for, 20 minutes, was it? But I said after 10 minutes, I said, Matty Garbutt's a player at Exeter. And I got those sort of vibes from Ben Woods. Really composed when he came on, really tenacious. There was a moment down the left flank where I think it was Mendy, it might have been Hayes, who pinged the ball back to him. and he sort of just cushioned a lovely little left foot pass in the box, which created, I think, the cross that Dale was referring to, which Lindgren didn't get on the end of, which, again, I thought was a little bit harsh on Lindgren. But Woods' pass in that was really good. So looks, first impressions on Ben Woods were really good. And like I say, I mentioned it earlier, but I do think eventually it will take Keller's place probably as a regular starter. But there's competition there now, and that's great. Looked a really positive debut. Excited to see more from him now. So, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about, lads. You know, everyone's saying I'm negative. I'm very happy with the way this squad is shaping up now. Now we've changed every player. It's looking good, boys. I'm excited.
John is absolutely desperate to dispel these negative allegations. He's seriously scraping at whatever he can to get rid of them. He doesn't want to be known as the negative one. But I Garbett, Collins and Ben Woods as a midfield three. I said it earlier when we were going for the midfield. That is a midfield of a, you know, League One dream of a midfield. I said this to John, actually. He was sat behind me at Plymouth, and I said this to him when he came on, and John was like, Ben Woods looks a player. And I said, you don't score 11 goals and assist 5 in League 2 and not be ready for the step up, you know, in an Accrington team that was nothing spectacular. You are ready for the step up. And I think he came on against a side that has just been newly relegated from the Championship and going away from home. It's no easy feat to come on. But I think he's earned a start for Lincoln. I think Keller, again, was very, you know, and Keller we signed to be this player that we're going to mould into what we want him to be. He wasn't for now, I don't think. And I think he's done enough at this precise moment in time to allow Ben Woods to come in. And I think he's earned a spot because I think he was spectacular. There was a lot that I liked from Ben Woods. I say spectacular. I think I only gave him a 6.5, but I never give subs very high ratings. But I did really enjoy that performance. I think he's earned a start. And I also think that he's going to be such a good player for us going forwards, because I said the game was almost desperate for us to bring players on that was going to get us forward more. We felt locked in our box. I think Hayes and Ben Woods were fantastic substitutions. So I will just give Fergie his plaudits. I think he got everything right, from the team sheet to the substitutes, everything right today to the game plan today, you know, yesterday. I think he got everything right. And that's not something I've been able to say for a while, but that was a really good managerial performance. And Ben Woods looks a right player. Very excited by him.
Yeah, Max, you've just stolen the line that I was going to go with there. I've waited until we spoke about the substitutions to praise Darren Ferguson, because all four subs were spot on. And I don't think we've ever said that about Fergie. We're always criticising his substitutions. He always leaves things too late or he makes stupid changes. And I'll be honest, I don't know if you guys could see it from inside the stand, but it looked like when he made the subs, we went to a 4-4-2. And I was shitting myself, I can't lie. We were already up against it. And then we decided to play Matty Garbett on the right side of midfield. We had Tom O'Connor on at left back. And I was like, oh no, what have we done? I thought that was the end. I thought we were just going to crumble. And it was perfect because all of their threat, like I said earlier, was coming in from the wings. And all of a sudden we had two people on each wing defending. It was literally like just completely nullified them. I don't think they actually had a chance at all since we made those subs. And then not only that, I thought Carl Johnson was great at right back. He got up the pitch, he did that run, didn't he? And he almost won a penalty. It was never a penalty, but you've seen some refs give them, and that was the best thing he could have done in that situation. He did a little game management at the end, didn't he, with the ball boy threw the ball at him to take a throw, and he just let it go past him on the pitch. Just your classic time-wasting move, that. And then Kieran Hayes on the left-hand side, just Plymouth must have, like, they were so frustrated, weren't they? All their fans were, like, shouting at the players, and like John said earlier, it just looked like they ran out of ideas at the end of the game. But they must have saw Kieran Hayes running at them thinking, God, now we've got another problem to deal with. And the amount of times we got the ball in that left-hand corner when Kieran Hayes came on, it's just fantastic. I tweeted it at Final Whistle yesterday. I've not seen us put in a game management performance like that before, with your time wasting, all of the dark arts, you know, winning those fouls, getting the ball in the corner. I personally am a big fan of it. I love all of that. I love the tactical. Like I said, I think Fergie got it spot on. I just worry that Dara doesn't like it as much as what I do. And I don't know if it's Fergie's plan to play like that again, because I get the impression that he purposely played like that yesterday. I don't think that was by chance. And I don't know if their relationship's going to become sour because of it, because he's obviously sacked managers in the past for playing that way. So is Dara one to be guilty of double standards? I don't think he is. But for me personally, a win is a win. And I'm very, very happy with the way we won yesterday.
I am sure Dara McAntony enjoyed that one. I reckon he quite liked watching his team play like that. It's been a long time. What a positive episode, lads. We're 23rd in the league, but I think we might be back. I think we might be back. And speaking of being back, Up the Poshcast, we'll be back to preview the Lincoln game. Another tough game, that. On Friday night, and it's back in its usual Friday night 8 p.m. slot. So do join us for that, and we'll see if we can get a hat trick of victories. This season's getting exciting. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. I think winning back-to-back has made John delirious. It's like he's had a complete personality overhaul.